Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. I'm Dani Sheriff, your host, certified fertility awareness practitioner, functional nutrition counselor, and founder of the HA Society, and of course, an HA recovery coach who has walked where you currently are walking. This is the place to come if you care about getting your period regularly. This podcast aims to educate, inform, and keep you motivated on your period and HA recovery track. So let's dive in. But last thing, nothing on the show should be taken as medical advice, so please seek the advice of your physician. So over a year ago, I created something called the 7-Day HA Recovery Commitment Challenge, and I've been running it for over a year. It was this free email-based challenge, so lots of reading, but you would get an email every day for 7 days to help you overcome and tackle the different but important areas that you need to be checking off in order to get your period back. Now, over time, I have collected some really great feedback, and upon working with all of these wonderful, amazing women, really started to learn even more about what works and what doesn't. And so I'm excited to be introducing to you guys the updated version. It's called the 7-Day HA Recovery Kickoff, and it is totally designed to help you not just commit to the process and have all of your ducks in a row in terms of important factors that need to be tackled and issues that need to be overcome in order to get your period. But the whole thing is now based in video. So you can listen/watch, and every day for 7 days, we will tackle nutrition. There's actually 2 days of that because it's so big. We'll tackle lifestyle, we'll tackle exercise, your support network, your mindset game. Each video goes from anywhere between 12 minutes and 5 minutes, so it's not very long, but you'll get all of the most important areas and the best tips and strategies for how to implement them. Because I know that going through recovery is hard. There's always an area for each person that is a little bit difficult to execute on. And so the goal, or maybe a lot difficult. So the goal of this challenge is to help you have the awareness, the self-awareness, and the tools and strategies you need to overcome each of the different issues that AHA recovery faces for us. So get on it. It's great if you're at the very beginning of recovery or if you're halfway through. I mean, we never know how far through we are until it's over, do we? But no matter where you're at, it can be a really good opportunity to check in and look for blind spots and areas where you might be dropping the ball in your nutrition, in your lifestyle, in, you know, maybe it's your support network that's a problem. Maybe exercise is something that you are still struggling with making changes to. So check it out. Go to thehasociety.com/7-day-challenge, or the link will be on the website. So it may be in the show notes of this show. It may not be. Just go to thehasociety.com and you'll find it in the footer, or you'll find it in the pop-up that happens when you visit the page. And we will see you for day one of the challenge. Okay, welcome back to the Hypothalamic Amenorrhea Podcast. It's your girl, Ashley, and I'm still sick. Yes, but depending on the order in which you hear this, you may be like, this girl is chronically sick. No, I've just been podcasting a lot in the past 2 days, and this is not the ideal time to have been losing my voice, but we are here, people. We are here. And with me, I have Casey from the Joyful Health, and we're excited to chat with you. We, as in the people, are excited to chat with you about your journey, just because I feel like I hear a lot of stories of like
being in diet culture and then being completely anti-diet culture, which 100% hello, but then just staying in that angry stage of anti-diet culture, which it has a purpose. Trust me, it has a purpose. But then I do feel like at some point we do have to like kind of move forward with joy, like actually move forward and still exist in this world where there is diet culture, and it just can't be like at some point we have to move on. Like we have to move, like we have to move forward. And so yeah, so kind of just introduce yourself. I know that you have a beautiful business that helps women, so tell us a little bit about that, and then let's just dive into your story.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to sharing this because, like you said, we all really do come from different perspectives. And so thinking about sharing my story, it's like, okay, my story is different, but hopefully someone will really just relate with at least part of it. And I think that part of it is going, that uniting factor is going to be the Lord. So Joyful Health Collective, we started that as in myself and Aubrey, registered dietitian. We started that together. We met on Instagram. I was going through an intuitive eating discovery journey, and I wrote a book called Move for Joy. I did not know about intuitive eating at the time. I did not know that Principle Nine was joyful movement. So I felt like, okay, there's something here, which, the Lord gave me that first. And so obviously it's like, this is his idea. That's fully what I believe. And she was writing on intuitive eating. And so we kind of put our material together in a video course, and that we just started it as the Joyful Health course, helping women move from a restrictive diet mentality into joyful health by grace. So our foundation is we have to start by grace. And then what gets us going is what draws us out and forward is that joy of the Lord. And figuring out what that looks like, it is a journey. And now we have developed different courses, coaching, books in order to complement the heart of that. So we really are a non-diet wellness ministry that focuses on Jesus. And really, we want to cut through the weeds of wellness culture because it can be a lot. Even an intuitive eating can come with rules. And so we have to come back to grace and continue letting go. So that's a little bit about the Joyful Health Collective. Would you like me to kind of share my story, or did you have a follow-up on that?
Yeah, no, I was just actually thinking, I'm really glad that you addressed it as the wellness culture, because it's not just diet culture, it really is like wellness culture. Really and truly, I'm just looking at this application that I had before I jumped on with you, and bless her, she's so confused on why her period may be listening, may be missing, but because as I read her application, it's pure biohacking and wellness culture to the nth degree. That, like, I'm sh like, even like all these, she mentioned that her practitioners and her fertility practitioners are like, I really don't understand, you're doing everything right. And I'm like, yes, everything, but properly, like, but like actually, like, nourishment, because you're doing all the wellness biohacking. Red light, sauna, acupuncture. And I'm not against any of those things. Like, I actually think that, like, yeah, I could probably use some red light myself. You know what I mean? But like, I'm not gonna try to get to like get my period back. Anyways, long story short, I feel like wellness culture in general can feel very distracting as well. And so, anyways, I'm just like, I'm actually glad that you brought it up like that, because I think, like, when I say diet culture, we're like, oh yeah, the blatantly obvious. But there's actually a lot in the wellness culture too that's not serving us well without the basics and the foundation. So I just love that you brought that up.
Yeah, and I can relate with that. I have been dismissed or I've graduated from physical therapy and a chiropractor saying, "You're doing everything right. I'm not sure how to fix you at this point."
Right. Yeah. And
I
plus,
mean,
like, I
like,
love when people are honest. I love, like, when they're honest and stuff like that. But it's just like, yeah. Because what if the biohacking isn't the answer? But
Yeah, I feel that.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. But please just dive into your story wherever you want. Like you said that yours was like a little bit different, a little bit unique. So please take it away.
For sure. Yeah. And I say different because I grew up in a family where movement exercise was very normal. It was not questioned. It was not, it wasn't bad, demonized. It wasn't punishment. It wasn't reward. I mean, reward in the sense that, like, this is what we do. And my mom was a personal trainer, a fitness instructor. My dad was in the army. He's retired army. So he still had that physical. Or the physical training, like the PT in his routine. And so we would jog with him in the neighborhood. We would pick up trash along the way. He's very servant-hearted. My mom, she would teach fitness classes. I remember going to the gym, going to childcare. And then when I got older, like teaching her classes for her. When we would go on vacations, it would be playing tennis, walking a lot. I mean, there wasn't, it was like, that's just what we did. And I think, of course, I gravitated towards wellness as a degree. And so my degree is in health promotion and behavior. And those behavior side of things, because I started to realize that not everyone enjoys exercise. And I was like, well, why not? Like, for me, it was a no-brainer. Like, why doesn't everyone like exercise? And so that is when I started getting into the real world and training. From the education that I received, which was in public health, and the message was anti-obesity. It was, you're going to go out into the world and you're going to help people by helping them not be obese, essentially. Like, obesity was labeled as a disease. And so I didn't know any different. And that's what I started doing. I started training people and helping them lose weight because that's what they also asked me to do. And I quickly found that that was not helpful. That was not helpful to label a whole people group as like, oh, your body's the problem. It was like, oh, actually, there's a different problem. And it's this cycle of defeat and not trusting our body and not trusting the body that God gave us, because people and my clients, myself included, became a little bit obsessed on the unhealthy side of things of like, well, if the number wasn't what they wanted on the scale, their whole day was ruined, or I wasn't doing a good job. I actually, well, this is part of my own journey too, but I started to see that in my clients. And then as a fitness instructor, I was, there's a lot of pressure on fitness instructors too to
Oh,
look a
yeah.
certain way. I was told to, like, you're supposed to wear clothes so that people can see your muscles working. And like, I get part of that, but some people feel disqualified from it because of recommendations like that. And then also, like, teaching early and teaching body pump, you're supposed to put on a model amount of weight. So like, you needed to lift heavy. And I was, teaching 5:30 a.m. classes, lifting really heavy weight. I was sore almost every day and so tired that I had to take a nap in the middle of the day. Like, I just had to take a nap so that I could keep going with my day. And it was like chronic fatigue. It was a struggle. And I thought that I was doing the right thing. I thought that I was doing the high intensity workouts. I didn't think that there was another option, to do fitness or health in another way. I also was living in Seattle for a time, and the wellness culture is really big there. That's when I discovered that I had Hashimoto's, that I was, allergic to certain foods. And so I started doing a like the whole 30 and like having very restrictive food list, and that was very stressful. I was spending so much time making food on my own, not going to dinner with friends because I couldn't eat what they were eating. I couldn't focus on people. I was mad. I was tired. I was stressed, and finding that there's got to be another way. And also, I moved back to Georgia, had a baby, hardest year of my life. A lot more sleep loss. And the exercise thing kind of faded into the background, but I thought, I'm going to get back into it. So I started personal training. But one of the gyms was very, I think that our our purposes didn't align. So I was there to get the average Joe to enjoy exercise, and their purpose was to like get people to train like athletes. And I essentially was let go from that gym. And it was, I am a perfectionist. I am the girl who's never done anything wrong. I was always called the goody two shoes, you know, kid growing up, probably still am. And so that was like, you know, it was shocking. It was really hard. And so I thought, I'm not going back into the fitness industry. Like, I'm not fit for it. So for the person who's like, I don't feel qualified for fitness or exercise, the person who maybe is like the picture of qualification, like body size, whatever. I also did not feel qualified for the fitness industry. Like literally disqualified. And so I did take a step back for a while. But I was like, the Lord is just still calling me back. I was like, I love it. I still love to move. I know that. And so I discovered Revelation Wellness. It was really a God thing. Their signups had closed, but I had a dream that I was supposed to be there. I was supposed to go to Phoenix and woke up like, I'm going to sign up. They had one more spot. They're like, you have to sign up today. So I did it. And then I was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to go back into this, I'm not going to lead. You're going to be the only one leading. So if it fails, then that's on you. And if it succeeds, then that's on you too. And so that was where I had to go back. That was my only like qualification for going back in was, okay, Lord, you're going to lead it. And so if it doesn't work out, then it's not on me. And you know, that, I don't know, that's kind of where grace comes into that picture of like, it's not me earning it. It's not me. Even yes, I fall short of the glory of God, but he gives us this grace anyways. And so yeah, Revelation Wellness did that.
So what is that? Because I've actually never heard of that.
Oh, sure. So it's essentially preaching the gospel through fitness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they have training for fitness instructors. They have training for you to become a fitness instructor. And so you're certified with ACE. So you can be a fitness instructor, but they also kind of teach you like, here's how you preach the gospel in your fitness classes, whether that's with worship music, with like a scripture at the beginning, weaving the scripture throughout, like, hey, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And then throughout it, while you're doing something really hard, you're like, hey, remember, nothing is too hard for the Lord. And you're kind of embodying it as you go. And so that was, you know, really helpful for my mindset to allow the Lord to lead in that. And yeah, and then food became a bigger issue for me where I was like, I can't keep up with these food rules. I was trying to heal my autoimmune disease with food because that's what people said you could do. They're like, you don't have to take medicine, or you can heal it with food, or you don't have to get surgery for this, you know, ab separation that I had. Like, you can heal with physical therapy. And all of those things that I tried for years and years was like, people were telling me you can heal it with this. And I did everything right or by the book, whether it's with physical therapy or eating, and it didn't work. And so I felt like a failure. So that's like kind of the diet wellness culture coming in of like, if you do these things, then you will be healed. And when you're not, you're like, well, I'm the problem.
What's wrong with me? Yeah.
Yes. And yeah. So I, one day, and this is, I'm almost done with the story, but one day I was like,
keep going.
Milk Duds at the table. And those are my favorite candy, but of course I felt guilty eating them. They were on the do not eat list or whatever. And I was like, I am so tired of trying to control food because I can't do it anymore. And I was always asking for forgiveness for overeating. And God answered that day. And he said, you don't have to. And I was like, you know, that was like the biggest weight lifted off. And I was like, oh, God didn't tell me to do all these things. I just thought I was supposed to. I thought that these were like commandments. And they're not. They aren't. And so that's when I was like, okay, we have to start. I have to start living by grace and learning what that means, like for my body, for food, for exercise. And so just completely separating food and exercise and like actually figuring out what I liked to eat and what I like to do for movement and and throwing out the rules for a very long time because I, you know, we have to do that. We have to figure out how God has made us to enjoy him and let that lead.
That's so interesting. Like, one of the things I think that people don't realize once we're stuck in the cycle is that the stress of trying to maintain these highly elimination diets or these highly restrictive diets is also the stress that's perpetrating symptoms in keeping us stuck in like the healing, right? So like the simple fact of like, I mean, I don't even know how your story goes, you know, after this, but I'm just like, yeah, I wonder if she did just say screw it, like receive the Lord for what he has and ate some milk duds and like just kind of went on with her life if things didn't start to maybe improve. But I also have a friend, she has like really kind of extreme Hashimoto's. Right. And this chick does need to be on medication. And so I think sometimes one of the worst parts about wellness culture is that it could be so dogmatic, where it's like, if you don't fit their success story bill, then like there's something wrong with you. And I'm like, well, what about integrative health? Anybody, do you like maybe want to like not be gung ho on any extreme? I don't know. I mean, I definitely like to weave in and out, 100% like to weave in and out. And I find that the more I get stuck in one train of thought, like the more extreme it becomes, whether it's conventional medicine, whether it's functional medicine. You know what I mean? I think like a lot of people are experiencing the backlash of being really dogmatic in just the straight functional medicine. And I'm just like, yeah, because it's like le the legit the opposite, an ex but just as extreme, and maybe the extreme approach is what all these things have in common. Just saying.
I would,
You know
I
what I mean?
mean, right. And so for me, it was like I was looking to this one thing to save me, essentially, to deliver me from chronic fatigue, to deliver me from guilt, shame. And so that was essentially an idol, and I didn't know that's what it was. And knowing that it, you know, an idol, like back in Bible times, was like a carved statue, an image of like a physical thing. And so it's hard for us to see that because it's not like something that we can see. But when I'm like, oh, an idol like doesn't actually have any power. It's only the power that I give it. Like this little, you know, piece of wood or even your phone, like this thing is a rectangle on my table right now. And we are living beings. Like that is incredible. I think we overlook the power that God has given us by breathing life into us. And that's why it's like we can't abide by any one extreme because we are each created so individually. And so having the permission to start to trust your own body and to trust your own creator is, I mean, that is where the freedom lies because then you're able to decide, oh, this thing actually isn't working anymore. And I know that because I've been tuning in to how I feel before and after, and also like the big broad spectrum of health. Like eating and exercise is about 20% of our overall health. It is not everything. So like how are your relationships? How was your environment? How are your stress levels? These are all very important indicators to hold and then balance. And it's a continual journey. Like we have to every day recalibrate, reevaluate, and like, oh, what's working now? What can I let go of? Because I think we hold on to things for too long for that to be the right answer.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. So pick up. You were sitting there, you were eating some milk duds. You had heard from the Lord, like, actually, no, you don't have to continue this super restrictive diet. Like, you can actually just move forward. And then what?
Y'all, we have been trying to record this for like 30 minutes. So here we go. Take 580.
Hey,
Did you know that we support people with HA, low progesterone, anovulation, short luteal phases, and all of the types of challenges that come up with infertility?
Danny and I are practitioners that have helped hundreds of women beat HA, regain fertility, and get pregnant naturally.
Mm-hmm. We are here to break the status quo of spending tens of thousands of dollars on IVF treatments for women who have issues that can absolutely be solved naturally.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. So we do this with our signature program that restores ovulation to regain healthy menstrual cycles. And if you're ready, get pregnant completely naturally.
Mm-hmm. On top of our one-on-one sessions, our fertility program even includes a styling session with Samantha Dawn, who is a body positive stylist. She's also our personal stylist.
Yes.
And an expert in helping you to dress your new and nourished body.
This is so important that we don't even need to convince you on how important this is. We want you to relearn how to nourish your body, claim your fertility, and feel confident in your clothes as your body changes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be painful.
No, yeah, exactly right. It doesn't have to be painful. With a little bit of guidance and support, you can absolutely do this. So if getting your cycle back and if feeling good about the process, if getting pregnant naturally is something you want to do, if you don't want to spend tens of thousands of dollars on medical treatment for something that you don't have to, we have just the place for you to go. So go to thehasociety.com/coaching to learn more about who we are, what we do, and apply today.
Yeah. We looked forward to supporting you.
That was good. Do you like that one?
Yeah, okay. I do like that one. That one's way more us.
Yeah. Boom. There you go.
I'm like, well, I had heard about intuitive eating and I was like, well, that doesn't seem right. If I eat whatever I want, I'd be eating all of the chocolate and all of the things. And I was like, yeah, actually you probably are going to do that. And I did that for a while. It's the honeymoon phase of intuitive eating. Like, you pendulum swing all the way to the other side of like, I'm going to give myself permission to give into all the cravings while nourishing myself. So like paying attention to hunger and fullness, like honoring the hunger is to honor the fullness cues. So
a good way of putting it, because, you know, like they as in like everybody who's coming, which was me too. So you said to honor the hunger signals is to also honor the fullness signals. And I think when people hear intuitive eating, or they even start to step off the ledge of diet culture and they're like, or wellness culture, because it really is wellness, because most of our girls are coming to us with beautiful plates of, I mean, the food is so beautiful because they're hungry, you know what I mean? But it's so beautiful. It's like so many colors, it's all, you know, all the things, all the veggies, all the organs, mm-hmm. all the whatever. But they're like, if I honor my hunger, then it's just anything goes. I can already see my life unraveling. Like, this mm-hmm. is a fast unraveling to unhappiness and gluttony and being obese. Like, I mm-hmm. will, like, you know, it's so interesting. What's back to your original point, because also in school is like, we just have to do everything to keep obesity from happening. It is a plague. It's all these things. And so I think people automatically think that if I honor my hunger signals, I will become obese.
Yes. Like, and that's a fear, because obese, it's been indoctrinated.
Yeah. And you know what? I say all the time, I was like, you know, for someone to become, let's just put it out there because like people are thinking it, for someone to become really morbidly obese, I don't even know how to, the proper way to even describe that situation without offending somebody. So I'm sure somebody somewhere has been offended, and I do apologize. I'm just trying to make this point. You have to ignore fullness signals too. Meaning that, like, when there's so many other things that have to happen outside of just honoring your hunger signals. There's so many other things that happen, whether it's genetic, whether it's not, you know what I mean? Like, there's just so mm-hmm. much that has to happen. Just like you did not lose your cycle overnight.
Mm-hmm.
As we unravel everything, there's so much that actually took place.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sorry that for that little rant in there.
Yes. And I'm not, I also want to caveat and say that like intuitive eating is the only way. That's not, it's not the only way. It is a tool. And mm-hmm. for that, like that person that you're describing, like, I also don't want to say like, never take weight loss medications, because I think every medication has its place. But if we are not able to tune into what our body is saying, that's just a really hard place to be in, because
yeah.
I've been there, and you are battling your own body. You're battling your own flesh and blood, and your body is the only thing that's going to be with you for the rest of your life, guaranteed.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm like, well, okay, let's make peace with our body. And how do we start doing that? We start trusting. And what is trust? It is to believe that something is helpful and not harmful. So
that's a whole thing, because you know, like we have been told, you know, and I think like, as you're saying this, so I hope you do get to the end of your story, but there's so many light bulbs going off as you're talking. I think that's what makes intuitive eating so like a wild option to people, just especially in our place that are healing, because we have only been told, and now we do believe, or did believe, because we're all healing, that our bodies are working against us. Our bodies, yeah. like the problem is our body. Right. Our body just needs help from us in order to be healthy. And all that micromanaging and belief that our body was wrong has actually led us into being the walking unwell and being actually more at risk for osteoporosis, osteopenia, heart health. I mean, like, you actually couldn't be further from healthy, because you're actually at massive risk for heart health. Well, why are you running if you're actually at risk for heart health because of your low estrogen? Why are you lifting when actually it's not moving the needle? Look here. I think cardio is great. I think lifting is great. But when you don't have any estrogen and it's been 5 years, 10 years, your lifting sessions are no longer actually productive. You know what I mean? Like, we're actually.
Well, I also didn't have a period yet during that time either.
You know what I mean? It's so interesting. It's so wild that like we in this disordered mind, right? We ignore the alligators that are closest to the boat, and we're like, you know what I mean? Which is osteoporosis, like dementia and all these things due to no to little estrogen, because estrogen is very protective, right? In our reproductive years. But to your point, but we continue down this path because our body is wrong and it needs our biohacking help. And because our body is wrong, how can intuitive eating ever go properly, because there's something wrong with my body, right? Mm-hmm. So there's so much unprogramming that probably has to happen before someone's even willing to entertain the thought that intuitive eating could actually be helpful.
For sure. Yes.
It's so good.
Yeah. So I mean, yeah, so many wellness things I have tried, have done, and it really becomes an obsession. You're like, actually, none of this actually did help. So what's the point again? Like, to be able to question the status quo, I think is what we need to continue doing, and to say, there's actually not one body type. So stop trying to shape your body into someone else's body. That's where we kind of have to start, of like, what is your ideal? Where are you at? And where is that like gap of discontent that you're trying to fill, instead of just
trying to close this gap
and present and being able to know what your body right now needs starts with, I mean, breath. We want to be practical, like just take a breath in and exhale and be here in this moment. Start here. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's not here yet. Don't worry about what this program is going to do or not do. Just allow yourself to be in your body. And this is a scary thing. I'm not saying that everyone can do this. I mean, there's lots of trauma associated with being in our body. But yeah, body trust kind of is the beginning of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that you can learn to know, my body's telling me that I need sleep, and that's a good thing. My body is telling me that I need to eat, and that's a good thing. So all of these things, even like you being sick right now, that's a good thing. Your body is actively fighting. Your body's actively fighting germs, whatever it is, that is a foreign invader. And your cough is a reflection of your body fighting for you. So why are we not fighting for our bodies as well?
Yeah. I think it's actually revolutionary when people realize, and then like every single time I have a client recover, I'm like, pause. Like, first off, we will talk about what comes next, but first we actually need a pause, and we need to acknowledge out loud that your body wasn't wrong. She was not wrong this entire time. She was not wrong. And she was fighting for you and trying to move you in the right direction. And we need to take this humble piece of pie and just sit here for like 2 minutes. And we need to acknowledge that everything that you thought about your body and being wrong and being crazy and not functioning right and blah, blah, blah was just us misreading cues. It's wild. Meaning that, like, I can imagine that when you're like, yeah, I'm actually really tired and trying to biohack and fix the chronic fatigue rather than like
go to sleep,
taking it down a notch. Sleeping, right? Not running on adrenaline. You know, just so many, or just being willing to be like, hey, body pump at 5:30 a.m. is not for me. Catch me at 6 p.m.
No, but I mean, that's like, I wanted to be, well, okay, and we can go back to identity too. Like, I wanted to be a productive person. I am a person who stewards their time well. I am a wise person. I do not waste my time. So I will get up at 5 a.m. because that's what productive, high performance people do until it didn't work. And I've still get offers all the time for like, hey, do you want to teach this 5:30 a.m. class? And it's like, no,
no.
I took a big long break. Maybe I'll go back. I don't know. I'm gonna leave that to the Lord because I trust him at this point with my journey and knowing that he's good. But I cannot get enough sleep. I can't go to sleep at, if I could go to sleep at 9:30, great. But I have kids. They don't go to sleep until 9:30. So in my season of life, and like your season of life is different. Everyone who's listening, their season of life is different. What they have right now is different. Their resources, where their body is in, you know, in time and space at any given day is different. And so we have to honor that. And we have to listen to that. And yes, it is humbling to be a created one, to be limited and to have needs, but those are also so good. It keeps us alive and it draws us into life. Like all of these, you know, movement and food, these are, we get rewarded when we do these things. Like this is built into our biology. So, yeah.
I know. Okay. So I have taken you off course multiple times. How did it go with the Hashimoto's? Where are you at now?
Still have it.
She's still here.
Still have it. Still am here. Okay. So I've been taking Synthroid, which is medicine for your thyroid, since I was 16 years old. That's when they were first like, oh, your levels are low. Take this pill. It wasn't until I got to Seattle that people were like, you can heal it with food. So I tried that. Developed a very unhealthy relationship with food and exercise. And then, yeah, recently worked with a functional medicine person. I was like, I'm not gonna do all the elimination diets. So my levels didn't improve. But so, you know, it's like, oh, there's another thing that I tried that feels disappointing. But the one thing that I found that works for me right now is I'm like, taking this pill makes me feel like, okay, I know that this is a constant thing, that if I don't take it, I notice, I notice. And so I think that's a huge part of like, what are you noticing? Whether you're taking something, not taking something, doing something, not, and then me getting enough sleep a night, as in I probably need like a 9 hours to feel good. That's very hard to do.
9 hours is my sweet spot. 9 hours. If I get 9 hours, watch out, world. And absolutely, like, you know, like, yes, 9 hours. I don't think that there's anything strange about 9 hours. I think, like, women, like, legit need more sleep.
I think that is actually a proven fact. I'm like, where we can pull up that study. I feel like I just ran across that. Somehow my husband, men can sleep way easier. You know, head hits the pillow, he's asleep, and I'm an hour later like, why can't I fall asleep? So, I mean, there's a frustration of like, I'm trying so hard. I try so hard to get all the things done so that I can go to sleep at a normal time. But hey, if I don't get 9 hours, is that okay? Yes.
Yes.
So
I'm not going to wellness trap myself of like, you know, like, oh my gosh, back in my disorder times, I would do the most insane things to make sure that I got enough sleep. And I still value sleep now. Let's just be real. But also when you have kids, it's a little savage. It's a little bit savage in the beginning. But also like, but I think it's only because I was so under fueling, so under recovery that if my sleep was messed up, like I had no resiliency when it came to like a lack of sleep. Okay. So how does your exercise change now? Like going from like body pump 5:30 in the morning, making this your identity, like wearing clothes to, you know, fighting obesity to like, you know what I mean? Like this whole, like, you're like, oh man.
And like, who is that person? That person sounds terrible.
Oh my God. No. I like slightly cringe and wiggle in my body, but the grace of God, it covers me. When I think about me as a nutrition coach, and I just get so like, that version of myself, it's so interesting. That version of myself is so different than I am now that it makes me uncomfortable. But
I was like, oh, that sounds like a militant person who no one wants to be around. I was like, that's probably about right.
Yeah. So where have you landed now, whether with like your own personal journey with fitness and now like helping other women?
Yeah, you know, I'll just give you that snapshot of my week and kind of run through, like, here are the decisions that I make and don't make at this point versus what it was. So, not doing 5:30 a.m. classes. And if you're in the fitness industry, people want to work out early and they want to work out in the evenings. I need to sleep now. So, and I also don't get up. I get up 15 minutes before my kids so I can get ready and then wake them up. Like that, be so I can get enough sleep. And then I take them to school and then I find a workout thing. So right now it's like I'm teaching a boot camp at my kid's school. I'm like, what? How can we work out together that's really convenient? We're already here. Like, how can we build this in? And two, like the one of the Blue Zones principles is to move naturally. So like design your whole environment, like design your environment so that movement is just a part of your day. So that was what I was looking for. And it turns out that was already existed. So I was able to just go. Now I get to like teach one day a week. I could go 3 days a week, but there are some other opportunities that have recently come up where I was like, I really enjoy being with people and moving with people. So I've been looking for those. And then, so I teach another boot camp, but do I do both of those? No, I really do one of them because the other one, I'm kind of burned out on heavy movement. So I'll do like, I'll model the, you know, here's how we're going to do this push-up and then let me help you with it. And so when people assume like, oh, you're a personal trainer, fitness instructor, you must work out 4 hours a day. No, you probably end up working out more than I do. But I tell people too, it's like, please don't do strength training every day. You know, it's like, I've learned too that rest is at least half of the equation.
And oh,
if we're
my
not
gosh.
Building that That's in, then like we are being counterproductive to what we're actually doing. So like, don't do that, you know, prioritize rest. And so, we're doing a lot of sports right now. I'm really taking it week by week. I'm in a co-ed softball team. Never thought I'd do softball. Didn't know how to throw a ball. Broke my nose when I was in t-ball when I was little. But my husband was doing it. My friends were doing it. I got jealous. Wanted to hang out with them. So here I am. I'm on a softball team. Moved to a neighborhood where there's tennis. Wanted to get to know these ladies. I'm playing tennis. So Like, once again, it's a way to be with people, but I will cancel things or say no to things if I'm too exhausted or too sore. Like, I did a backpacking trip this weekend and I was going to go to the boot camp to see people. I was like, I'm not coming. See y'all Wednesday. So there's a lot of permission. There's a lot of opportunities. I feel like I have the freedom to say yes, to say no, to know that if I do heavy exercise, I'm going to need more sleep, to plan for that, to prepare for it, to nourish my body more, to know that I'm going to be more hungry if I'm expending more energy. That's just a part of it. So just being able to like be so much more in tune and to have more permission and freedom to say yes and to say no, that is where I'm finding the joy in that journey.
Yes, I love that you bring this up because I'm very much in that season right now. Like right now, my joy is pickleball.
Yes, and your girl I love pickleball.
Is obsessed. Danny and I are going to start touring. No, I'm kidding. No, we wish. We're like, hey guys, gave our lives up, just play pickleball. No, but what, you know, it's so interesting that you brought up joy and then just being like, nope, not coming, bye. Because that's where I'm at too. So it's so interesting. And so it's like, I know my personality that if I could play pickleball 7 days a week, I would. Even though I know it's not good for me, I would do it. So I have
But to what do you mean that. By good for you?
Oh, just like overuse, just mm-hmm. overuse, you know? And I mean, like smart people, smart athletes in general, it's, you know what I mean? Like, you actually have to be smart. You know what I mean? Now, could I go drill something else? Yes. But playing pickleball. And so let me be clear. Like when I go play pickleball, I play for like 3 or 4 hours. So your girl ain't just popping on a court.
Okay.
For like, you know what I mean? I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. But I don't even realize I've been there for 3 or 4 hours because I'm having so much fun with everybody. And it's something that you really can do for 3 or 4 hours because you're not like sprinting. It's a solid workout, but you're not sprinting for the whole sure. time. You're not lifting the whole. It's a very interesting place I'm in. But long story short, I could play 7 days a week and I'd miss out on my family and my husband. So I know I can't do that, right? So I already mm-hmm. had to throttle myself back. And so last night we just lifted in the garage as like a family and then went on like this little like moon hike last night. My daughter loves the moon. Like we love like finding the moon. And so like and so we have this hiking backpack that she loves to get into as well. And it was just such a reminder. And I'm always having to remind myself is that like, just because I love something doesn't mean I need to do it every day. And there's multiple things that I love.
Yes.
And so I think that that's the joy I'm in right now. Like there's multiple things I love and my personality is to dive into one thing and do it to the thousandth degree.
Mm-hmm.
But I already know that that actually breeds obsession, not joy.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It breeds addiction, not joy.
Yeah. Okay. So what would be the difference between obsession and joy?
I know. I'm sitting here trying to figure all that out. You know, I think joy for me is I still have, like, I'm not giving into obsession or addiction by saying, you know what? Today's Tuesday. I played with you guys yesterday. I played with you the day before. I'm staying home. And, like, my day and my mood isn't shifted. Like, I'm not sitting here being like, oh, my gosh, I'm totally missing out. They're all doing this. They're going to get better. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Just, like, you can just see how this starts to spiral, right? And I'm like, no, I still have joy in other movements, too. Right? You know what I mean?
And like, in your life.
Yes, my life. Like, you know what I mean? Like last night, like it's just so awesome to see my daughter, like, you know, like I don't make her do any movements with me, but she's in there with me. And so she's copying some of the movements. And so that brings me joy. It brings me joy that my daughter is like hanging from like a pull-up bar yeah. and she's playing, or yeah. she wants to do abs with me, or mm-hmm. she'll get on my back while I'm doing leg curls. Or mm-hmm. she wants to squat when I'm doing deadlifts. Like, you know, again, being able to recognize and acknowledge that there's many movements that bring me joy outside of the one that I'm currently into. And I think that like, that's also what allows the flexibility where I'm like, hey, actually, I'm not going to go tonight. We got something with my kid and like, I'm not losing my mind.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is like the difference between I'm enslaved to this thing, I have to, versus I'm okay because my identity and my life is not wrapped up in this. It doesn't have a hold on me.
Yes.
I'm able to hold it. It doesn't have a hold on me.
Mm-hmm.
And two, like you talked about being with your daughter, and that's kind of what I arrived at with writing Move for Joy of like, oh, it's actually joy is about connection and literally with all of our, like, you know, the three parts of our brain, like the thinking brain, the emotional brain, like the automatic part of our brain, all of those parts of your brain are connected and talking to one another when you're experiencing that feeling of joy. And so I'm like, okay, like joy is connection. It's relationship with your body, with other people, with this thing you're interacting with pickleball and you're interacting with this ab workout or whatever it is. And I love Ecclesiastes too. And he's like, who can have joy apart from the Lord? So like ultimately this, it's this relationship with our creator who created joy. And so like, okay, let's figure out what joy is according to him, and joy being the expression of grace, and grace being you don't have to, but you get this thing.
You know what's really interesting too is that along those same lines, I think the joy also in movement can be found whenever you stop using it to change your body. When I no longer am sitting here trying to be a co-creator of what, you know what I mean? And again, if you ask me, look here, if I could get my biceps back, your girl would do it in a heartbeat, but I know what it takes. I know how low of a body weight I have to get to. And so I'm so like, but that doesn't mean that I don't celebrate like, oh, I am putting on more muscle in my legs. Like, go legs. You know what I mean? But like, it's no longer this. Everything is done to burn calories, change my body, do this body composition, you know what I mean? And so I don't want people to think that like, oh my gosh, like any change or having any goal. No, but I would say it's a slippery slope. So watch yourself, friend, yourself as in like more of like, hey, I actually am enjoying getting better. And like the whole thing with like lifting, like I've been really deep in this, like, and like perimenopause, you know, like just all these things, because I think like, what am I, 36? What I got like, maybe what, 20 solid more years of ovulating, right? You know what I mean? And I'm just like, you know what? Bonus round. Your girl's going to like really dial this in, and not in a wellness trap, but just being mindful. Like, what are some of the things that, you know what I mean? And one of those things has always been lifting. And so that's why I'm like, actually, I'm keeping this actually for health, not to change my body. And that's the first time I've used lifting to not change my body. And so it's like this re-entry in it, as you're talking about joy, you know what I mean? With flexibility, meaning that like, it's not like, yeah, I just think that there has to be flexibility with it for there to be joy, or else we're just kind of riding the line of obsession.
Yeah. You're serving that thing instead of it serving you.
Absolutely.
So yeah. And also like the most simple, if I have a 1 minute conversation with someone, they're like, how can I change my mindset around this? It's like, stop paying attention. Stop trying to use food and exercise to change the way you look, but pay attention to how you want to feel. And so before and after a meal or a workout, movement session, whatever, how do I feel now? How do I want to feel? And that can help you gain some freedom in those areas so that you can make goals without obsession. Because once you can pay attention to how you feel, you can, you know, you can make that goal not be an ultimate thing. Like if your goal is, okay, I'm going to do a marathon, and you hurt yourself in training, then you can be like, okay, I am going to pay attention to my body and rest, and we're going to pivot. We're going to switch goals because this goal is not the ultimate thing. This is not to define who I am. You know, these things are an expression of who I am. They don't define who I am anymore. So, but we have to be able to like, so I always tell people too, like I had to stop tracking everything. I had to stop wearing a Fitbit or whatever it was back then and stop, you know, so I took off all the things when it came to tracking for meals and exercise. I was like, I have to start figuring out how this makes me feel in my body before I can go back to those things. And then I can be like, oh, we just like hiked a mile. We have seven more. Then that's helpful versus it being
absolutely
something I'm chained to.
I love everything that you just said, because I feel like that is the exact thing that women need to hear once they recover their period, because we do have to be more intentional and mindful and probably more mechanical than we want to be. But once we get to that place of getting our cycles back and our period back, it's like, now what? And exactly to what you're saying of like, okay, like I have all my hormones back now. Now I can really step into this intuitive guide of movement and food. So I just love this. Okay. So tell the people where they can find you and your program if this is something that they're like, you know what? I need to talk to that chick.
Yes, absolutely. So joyfulhealth.co, that's our website. Instagram is joyfulhealthco. Joyfulhealth.co/store is where you can find all of our offerings. We've put all of our programs into one annual membership to make it easy, but you can always schedule a one-off call if you and I would like to chat one-on-one. Yeah. And we have a dietitian on staff as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been so refreshing. We just love hearing people's like journey out of disordered into like healthy, sustainable movement with food and exercise. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I'll see you later.
All right. See ya.
Hey there, it's me, Danny, and I want to tell you about Temp Drop as a fertility awareness method tracking option. So many of you guys know that we actually recommend the fertility awareness method both as you're going through recovery and 100% after you have gotten some cycles back and you're starting to move forward for the rest of your reproductive years. So Temp Drop itself is a wearable fertility monitor and we love it. It's a wearable device, so you put it around your arm and you can use that instead of taking your temperature manually with a thermometer each morning. So I'm personally a big fan of the manual tracking. All of us at the HA Society are. And that's the method that we use, you know, just using a good old thermometer. We use that with our clients because it's the best way to use it as a diagnostic tool, as a practitioner. And it's also the best way to ensure if you're trying to avoid pregnancy that you don't get pregnant. However, manual temping for many reasons is just not always an option. When you're in the middle of recovery, again, we do recommend manual temping, but once you're cycling, the Temp Drop is actually a really great hack. So it gives you basically everything you need to effortlessly track your fertility status, like where you are in your monthly cycle. So you wear the Temp Drop sensor while you're sleeping for accurate basal body temperature readings without the stress of early morning wake-ups. So I personally love this because with a toddler, my wake-up times are all over the place and the occasional sleep disruptions make using an oral thermometer a lot more difficult. So Temp Drop's accompanying charting app enables you to track an array of symptoms alongside your basal body temperature. This includes tracking your cervical mucus if you've been using OPKs, and then it also gives you sleep insights too. So you can combine these fertility signs all in one place, and that will help you identify your fertile window, confirm ovulation, plan for your period, and if you're trying to get pregnant, you know, identify whether or not you are pregnant. So whether you're trying to conceive or avoiding pregnancy, or you want to chart for health reasons, like HA recovery, making sure your cycle is not slipping back in the HA direction, Temp Drop makes fertility awareness accessible to all women, even if you don't have regular cycles or sleeping patterns. So track your ovulation in real time with the Temp Drop, and we are lucky enough to have a 15% off code. So if you go to their website, they're usually having a sale, but you can stack this code on top of the existing code. So just go to tempdrop.thehasociety.com and use the code AFHASociety. I think too, if you just go to tempdrop.com and use AFHASociety at the checkout, that will work too. So happy temping and good luck.
This episode is brought to you by Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules. Did you know that in terms of nutrient density, beef liver actually blows vegetables and fruits out of the water? If you're a client of mine, you have already been instructed to eat beef liver either fresh or in capsule form. I recommend it for anyone and everyone who is, of course, dealing with amenorrhea and fertility challenges out there, but I may even recommend it for just everyone in general. Get your husbands on it, get your partners on it. If you have a history of HA and add on top of that maybe a history of the pill, maybe you've been pregnant before, you know, through treatments or other, like you've just, your body's been through anything, you know, you're absolutely 100% dealing with a nutrient deficiency of some kind. And while it's true that testing is going to be the best way to understand those exact deficiencies, eating nutrient-dense, real food is going to be one of the most important next steps that you take with or without testing. So I've been using and recommending Grassland Nutrition Beef Liver Capsules for years now. And the capsule form makes it so easy to get your liver in every day. And I appreciate the transparency of this product in particular above others. So in case you're wondering, it's completely natural. This is freeze-dried beef liver in capsules. It's organic, it's made from Australian beef, and my favorite of their products is the liver with kelp because of the iodine from the kelp, which is important for overall thyroid function, which is often low in women with underperforming hormones. So rather than eat seaweed snacks every day, I get to take this beef liver with the kelp for my iodine. So if you're recovering or working on a fertility journey right now, do not skimp the nutrient rich source of beef liver. Get 10% off your order with the HA Society and support your favorite podcast along the way. They ship to most countries, so you should be covered. Just go to grasslandnutrition.net and use HA Society, just HA Society, at the checkout for the 10% off. That's grasslandnutrition.net with the code HA Society.
Thank you so much for listening today, guys. Please subscribe to the podcast, and if you could head to iTunes specifically and leave a rating or review, that would help so much because it makes it easier for other people with HA who are Googling around to find the podcast really easily. So if you do that, you're doing a service to all of the women.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.